worship. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship God. Please join me in the confession of who we are and the assurance of who we are. Merciful God, we confess we have formed our lives around the ways of the world and not the ways of your kingdom.
We think of ourselves too highly and regard others
as lowly. We exalt possessions and power when you alone are to be exalted. Have mercy on us, we pray.
Forgive us and help us that we may discern your will and be holy and acceptable to you.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ends. When we call out to God, God answers. Amen.
just don't want to move. Last week, you heard from Dr. Schumacher on, I believe it was Romans. You talked about the Romans? Yeah. Well, this Exodus passage was for last week, too. We're jumping backwards a little bit from the lectionary. But we're beginning with the Exodus story. And we're beginning with Moses' birth. Listen now to God's word to God's people, beginning in chapter 1 of Exodus, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than are we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed upon them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other was named Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine and good baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm very excited that we get to hear Dora. Come on up. Please share with us your voice and your songs.
Thank you, Dora. I heard a new song today, and it was sung with joy. Thank you. No. So, for the record, last Sunday, I did try to go to church. I went over to the Village Green there in Pentwater, which was where the church's website said that they were going to be meeting. And I was on time. But there was no sign of any sort of gathering. They may have called it off, as earlier in the morning, it had rained a good bit. So instead of worshiping with other folks, I headed down to the town beach. It's not a poor choice. The place was practically deserted at that time of day. So I sat on a bench by the great inland sea of Lake Michigan and watched as the gulls circled overhead before plunging down to catch a stray fish in the nearly still waters.
Now, intermittently, I did read some scripture and listened to prayerful music, and I prayed. It was a healing time of worship that celebrated the gift of life away from ordinary life. Now, it seems to me that the Psalms have a way of leading us toward God's heart. So I began my readings there with the psalm that we said this morning together as our call to worship. And as spiritual readings often go, two verses, numbers 4 and 5, leapt out at me. And when that happens, you know the Holy Spirit really wants you to focus on something particular. The words were, "Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters." I had spent much of my time that week up on the wilder coast where the waters roared and swept over pilings that probably were left behind after the logging industry faded. Such power. There was actually an advisory out one day not to go in the water. It was really crashing, and it made it easy to sense the terror that the Hebrews must have felt when crossing the seabed with the Egyptians on their heels. That psalm felt like a wonderful gift given about the sea, beside the sea. And then I read Exodus. Rereading the ancient story refreshed my memory and showed me the bridge between Joseph's story, you remember Joseph, and what had brought the Hebrews out of slavery, or into slavery even, under Pharaoh. My heart delighted in remembering Shiphrah and Puah, these two lowly, ordinary women did jobs that were ritually unclean and unworthy of the praise that our nurses receive nowadays. Still, in a state in which the Hebrews were being swept away by the seas of sand, these two managed to outsmart Pharaoh. He was so full of himself, believing he had the power over life and death. But in reality, the two God-fearing midwives were able to unveil the gift of life and circumvent death instead of him. These ordinary women honored God while performing their ordinary tasks. Call me a women's libber if you will. But I would cheer for anyone who follows God over a human ruler. Yet this story had more gifts to share. Like most of the terrible leaders of the world, Pharaoh didn't give up grinding his slaves into the sand just to prove his power. He even ordered all the baby boys to be thrown into the river where liquid floods would sweep them under. You know, that was a little short-sighted, since the boys would have been the ones to build the next pyramid or palace. Who knows what that man was thinking? This time, though, an ordinary Levite woman outwits him. She, too, honored God's gift of life over a ruler's demands. She fashioned an ark made out of a basket of papyrus and bitumen and pitch. And she placed her good little baby in it and hid him in the reeds along the riverbank. That's kind of like throwing him into the water, isn't it? Still, she's another ordinary person using an ordinary skill, basket making, to praise God. Anyway, When I looked up and out over the aquamarine and indigo blues of the lake, and oh, it was gorgeous. I was surprised to see a tiny little boy, 2.5, 3 years old maybe, holding really tight to his grandfather's hand as the pair looked out over that same water. The boy was clearly amazed by the sight. Between long moments of staring out, he'd look up at Gramps. Now, Gramps was a rather tall man, so the boy had a long way to look up. And meanwhile, the man wasn't even looking at the water. He was leaning over to watch the child, who clutched onto him with all of his might. There may not have been any significant waves that morning, but the little boy was still overwhelmed by such a sight. And Gramps? Gramps only had eyes for the child. And though I could not hear their voices, it was clear he was speaking to his grandson to calm him. Quite a gift, eh? I couldn't help but silently watch from my perch. This ordinary moment felt extraordinary. It felt holy. And I wondered, how could anyone seek to kill off such little ones by throwing them into the water? Didn't Pharaoh know how life-giving God means water to be? And that's when, for me, a God moment happened. The music that had been playing in the background became more clear, and I recognized yet another hymn from songwriter Carrie Newcomer. It's called Holy as the Day That Spent, and I'd like to share that with you. I have to put the password in. I'm going to go over and work this so you can hear some of this beautiful hymn. If you could not hear all that, I do have the words in hard copy that I can send out. But I hope you got a sense of things that are holy, things that are like autumn leaves that are made of earth and air, and folding sheets like folding hands as to pray as only laundry can. when unknowingly we slow our pace in the shade of unexpected grace and with grateful smiles and sad, as holy as a day is spent, and morning light sings providence, as holy as a day is spent. You see, ordinary, mundane activities can be holy. Family strolling along the boardwalk, talking quietly, greeting neighbors. Puah and Shifra simply doing their jobs, helping to birth new life into the world. Dogs playing tennis fetch ball in the lake with their children under human parents' watchful eyes. A baby's mother simply trying to preserve the life of her son when she placed him in a papyrus basket. Even Pharaoh's daughter was performing an ordinary task when she went bathing in the Nile. So the actions of each of these women were, yes, holy and sacred things. Quite like the time shared by the grandson and granddad that Sunday morning by the lake. Such ordinary gifts, these. You know, it's interesting. The name Moses again means I drew him out of the water. And indeed, that is what Pharaoh's daughter told people about finding her son. I drew him out of the water. But then, too, Moses' mother also drew him out of the water by placing him in that little ark for safekeeping. She drew him out of the waters of execution. That ark floated through a turbulent time for the Hebrew people when they were being oppressed bitterly. And it delivered a tiny boy into hands that saved his life. And in the years to come, Moses would draw his people out of Egypt through waters that threatened to drown every last one. Yet, as the psalmist reported, the people feared, for again, the torrent would have gone over us, and then over us would have gone the raging waters. What Moses did was an extraordinary feat, but it was only accomplished with God's help. Now, I don't believe that God is with God's children just in extraordinary times. So about these families by the sea. Each person has his or her own life story. And while they're probably not as dramatic as was baby Moses's, God still offers the gift of holiness on each of their days. Have I shared with you the story of Brother Lawrence yet? Anybody? No? Okay. He was a monk way back in the Middle Ages, and he wasn't particularly educated, but most of the monks back then could read and write. So Brother Lawrence actually wrote a little book about finding God in everyday life. In it, he talks about being a cook in the monastery. And more importantly, he talks about how he finds God everywhere he goes and in everything he does. He even believes that the simple act of turning an egg over in a frying pan can be praiseworthy, can be holy. So I wonder, if the ordinary act of turning an egg over can be holy, if drawing a baby from a river basket can be holy, if introducing a toddling grandchild to the waters of Lake Michigan can be holy, what is holy in your day-to-day activities? What are your ordinary yet praiseworthy gifts by the sea? Where have you seen God in your life today? What gifts does God send you? Be they beside a lake or at a friend's home or go ahead and fill in the blank yourself. For indeed, God's holiness is offered to us in even the most ordinary of moments. Praise be to God. Amen.
As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Apostle Paul has said, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel also in the act of grace. Because our gifts combine through God's grace, God's love is shared with the world. Let us bless them to service in Jesus' name. Almighty God, you took a baby from the Nile and used him to lead your people to the promised land. We ask that you take our offerings and use them for your people in this land and throughout your world. In Christ we pray. Amen.
So indeed, we have come to a time of prayer. I'm glad to see Dave Perkey here. I think Melody is on the mend and hopefully coming home tomorrow. There is a gentleman that we've been asked to pray for that was sent out. His first name is Matt, and he had a terrible accident with that frying machine when a car crashed through the McDonald's that he worked at. Wendy's down in Marietta. Martin's Ferry. It starts with an M. There was someone else I wanted to mention. Keep them all in prayer. And remember to let me know, or Maggie, if you have a prayer concern. We want to share those around. We want to keep people in prayer. We want to shower them with cards to get well. Even at this time of social distancing, it's important to stay connected, especially when someone's feeling down and hurting from being ill or under some kind of major distress. So shall we pray? O God of steadfast love, in this beautiful morning, we see that you are always with us. And we praise you for the ordinary gifts of life, blue skies, and surprisingly cool temperatures for a late August day. Our health and well-being and friends and families around us. We give you thanks for all of these ordinary, extraordinary gifts. And remember that with you there, all will be well. So it is with such gratitude in our hearts that we ask you to hear us now as we pray with confidence, the confidence of little children who trust that your strong arms hold this world, especially those who are in the midst of trouble. We pray for the nations of this world. Help leaders shine your light of hope as they guide the people through challenging hours. And may they and their people learn your justice and practice it as they journey their days into the lives which you intend and hope for them. We pray for our country. There has been so much economic distress and anger on the streets this summer. Help your children to find ways to hear the cries of those in both spiritual and financial pain, and work together to resolve the concerns of this time, especially where there are differences of opinion, so that all may find your peace. We continue to lift up teachers and students and administrators as they learn how to learn in this extraordinary time. Open their minds, but open their hearts too, so that they might comfort those who are confused or anxious about the new ways, and be with them all, that their health be maintained as they move about their school buildings. We pray for anyone who lives in despair and ask You swiftly send your deliverance their way. We especially pray for all people who are huddling in shelters or friends' homes, far away from their own as they wait out strong winds of wildfires or hurricanes, winds that have forced them from their homes. Help them to rebuild their lives, knowing that you stand with them through the best and the worst of times. And hear us now as we pray for healing of those who are sick. We pray for Melody, for Matt, and for Kay Vandenbark's granddaughter, Emily. Light their lives with hope and strength. Give them the courage to face the days ahead. And do likewise for those who are faint of heart or weak of limb. We lift up to you families who grieve the loss of a loved one, and for those whom we now name privately in our hearts. O faithful God, you stand with us, making our darkest hours less fearful. You even heard Jesus' hopeful prayer as he died on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We know our prayers are but faint reflections of his faith. So we ask that you hear us pray the words that he first taught the 12 so many years ago, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. With God's word and our prayers, each of you has been strengthened for the journey ahead. Each of you can now go out and share the love of Christ with all you meet. You can do this with your ordinary actions, done with love and hope in Christ. For those ordinary actions are accompanied by the love of God. And those actions speak of him who has died to save all. So go now, knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit that draws us all together goes with you each and every day. Amen and amen.